Green Sense Radio is brought to you by Green Sense Farms. We're changing the world with sustainable indoor vertical farming, growing more with less. Our leafy greens are sold live, so they burst with flavor. Visit greensensefarms.com and watch us grow.
Welcome to Green Sense, a weekly look at the people, policies, and innovations that are changing our world. Here's Robert Colangelo.
I'm your host for this edition of Green Sense.
And I'm Bob Kessler, your executive producer. Happy Earth Day weekend, Robert.
Thank you, Bob, and happy Earth Day to you.
Yeah. You know, actually, we could say that every week because we say every day is Earth Day. At least that's how you should behave. But here on the actual Earth Day weekend, we're going to look at plastic. That's the theme of this year's Earth Day. We'll hear more about it from the president of the Earth Day Network. And we'll also get very specific on this. A new study came out looking at single-use plastic bottles. You know, a lot of times things like water come in that. We know there's plastic that you're drinking in when you drink from those, but how harmful is it? We'll talk to the author of a new major study.
All coming up on today's show. It's Earth Day weekend, and as we've learned last week on the program, it was established in 1970 by Senator Gaylord Nelson as a day of teach-ins about the environment. Today, according to the Earth Day Network, more than 1 billion people in 192 countries now take part in what is the largest civic-focused day of action in the world. We're now joined by Earth Day Network President Kathleen Rogers. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you for having me.
Well, with a billion people taking part, obviously there's interest in Earth Day, and you've kept that going over the years. But how do you keep each year fresh, informative, and entertaining after close to 50 years of celebrations?
Well, I think the first thing we do is we focus on year-round work. So while we gear up for Earth Day sort of from November till, you know, even after Earth Day, people have seem to be doing Earth Day year-round. And so we became a year-round organization in spite of our focus. And now we work year-round with the groups, teachers, students, faith-based groups, you name it. We're working with everybody year-round. And then we get them to focus on that particular time of year through a theme that we choose based on the readership and supporters of Earth Day Network. So this year, our theme for 2018 is End Plastic Pollution, which is focused not just on single-use plastics, but also on the health issues related to plastic, the science behind replacements to plastic, and other issues like ocean cleanup, impacts on food, wildlife, and of course, our drinking water. So that's how I think we keep it fresh and going every year.
What made you decide on plastic for this year's theme?
Well, I think, you know, it wasn't something that we thought up. Groups have been working on plastic for 20 years. And in fact, I got an email from a mentor of mine, Pete Myers. If you're listening, Pete, it said, welcome to the club. I've been talking to you about this for 20 years and you're finally getting your act together. And so I guess the point is that we feel that plastics has reached this sort of critical force and critical mass. And Earth Day Network does two things really well. We amplify issues for the public and for governments and faith-based groups, et cetera. And then we also encourage people and work with them directly to have them bring it to their communities, their schools, their town hall meetings. And so it's a really exciting process that we've created over the last close to 50 years that allows us to reach more and more people every year.
How much worse has plastic pollution become over the past 3 to 4 years and why?
Well, you know, unfortunately, plastics are incredibly useful, and we've, in a way, been sold a bill of goods on the need for single-use plastics, be it bags, bottles, straws, whatever, utensils. And so as we, you know, as our population grows and as convenience becomes sort of the order of the day, people tend to live in a throwaway nation. And I think there are a couple things about plastic that are really important. Number one is plastic production's on the rise. It's not going down. We hope that'll change in the next 5 to 10 years. Plastics pollution and plastics in general are really negatively impacting our natural environment. And that those issues range from the impacts of plastic breaking down on, it's called endocrine disruption, which means you can have, it mimics estrogen in a natural system. And so the studies have shown that male frogs might become female or both sexes, and that children may be going through puberty earlier, which is devastating for all communities just because they're exposed to plastics and the chemicals in plastics. Plastics also act as like a magnet. So as they break down, they actually, other chemicals that are in the water attach themselves to it. And a couple of recent studies showed that 95% of American drinking water, the stuff you get out of your tap, is full of plastic microparticles. And that even applies at about the same percentage rate to our bottled water. So we are drinking it every day, all day long. And of course, our fish are full of it, and our soil is as well. So we really need to be on top of the health issues that are related to this. And then in addition to that, just the eyesore and the plastics pollution in our water systems, in our municipal waste streams, none of which is either attractive nor healthy for us to sort of let it go on.
My guest is Earth Day Network President Kathleen Rogers. We did a show recently titled The Straw That Broke Plastic Back, and it was about how eliminating plastic straws or replacing them with paper, which is a very small thing, something we can all do that will have very little impact on our life, but with millions of people doing it, it will have a big impact on the environment. What are you recommending individuals do about the plastic problem that's a small thing but could have a big impact on the environment?
Well, I think they can encourage their local restaurants to do away with plastics. We tried an experiment here and it worked. We got 4 or 5 well-known restaurants to do away with straws, really with very little trouble. Even companies like Starbucks are thinking of at least hiding them under the shelf when they serve drinks. I guess you all heard that McDonald's in Great Britain has done away with straws, as has the Queen of England. So if the Queen can do it, I can do it. And so we're hoping that, you know, people, you know, really famous people and the rest of us will all get on the bandwagon and start talking about it. And I think we can have a huge impact on major industries that are producing them and using them.
Plastic is such a big problem. It's ubiquitous and it's easy to just throw up your hands and not bother to do anything. Have there been some Earth Day successes in the past to help you boost morale and show how success can be had?
Yeah, I think, again, these small efforts where restaurants have gone on the record and said, well, thanks to citizen so-and-so, we're going to do away with straws. And there are enough of those stories around. And there are also, you know, pretty funny stories around about how people have banned single-use plastics, including straws, from their life. So I think people are now taking a new look at it. It's also important that we find a good substitute. So I'm seeing more and more companies move to paper straws or, reusable straws. And so I think it's the beginning of the end for the plastic straw and some other single-use plastics. But it does take human effort and humor and other things to sort of keep the ball rolling.
One of the challenges of a big global event is making sure you're not a victim of your success and that you don't become a source of waste and pollution, especially plastic. And it's hard to avoid it if you're having a billion people gathering in cities around the world. What kind of safeguards are you putting in place to make sure that Earth Day is not having an impact on the Earth?
Well, when we hold events, when we do them ourselves, we are more than aware about the need to make sure that there is not a speck of trash on the ground after everybody leaves, which of course is a challenge because what happens if you have 350,000 people and you're doing it, say, on the National Monument, they only have so many trash cans. And so sometimes they're filled to the brim or going over the top. So we send out volunteers everywhere to make sure nothing is on the ground when we're finished. And I think most of the groups in our network, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands, they have the same sort of ethic and interest. That's not to say that things don't go wrong, and groups that are doing it for commercial purposes may be less aware of the impact they're having. And there's not really much I can do about that, except really encourage them and send them stern notes like I used to get from my teachers about the need to do a better job. Eventually, all that trash will be cleaned up, but I don't want to put a burden on the local government. So it is part of our toolkits and our mantra that you pack it in and you pack it out and leave the place better than what you found it and how you found it.
Putting events together or managing people is a challenge, and it's a lot of hard work. Why do you work so hard and at being involved with Earth Day, and what is your reward?
Well, you know, I think I call myself sort of a pathological optimist or something like that, because I feel that people in my business, environmentalists, conservationists, and people who just care, really kind of do have that either part of their genes or they learned it from their parents. But like a lot of people, I've always been somebody who just got involved. And so it takes a lot of energy. I have kids and a husband, and about this time of year, they all stop speaking to me because I'm ignoring them and working so hard. But they know, and we know, that what we're doing is the right thing. And as long as we try to keep our personal relationships going, at least for the most part, then I think, and take some time off every once in a while, that just sort of renews our commitment to leave the world a better place than what we found it. And that's sort of critical to what we're doing, is that ethic and morality. But lots of people are just like us. Even the Pope is really engaged, as are other people, and we're just seeing that that really spreading around the world.
Well, we're out there helping you make every day Earth Day, because here at Green Sense, it's all about the environment. So thank you very much, and we wish you a happy Earth Day.
Thank you, and thanks for everything you do.
That's Earth Day Network President Kathleen Rogers joining us on Green Sense. You can subscribe to our podcast and check out our past programs when you visit greensensefarms.com.
Bob Kessler, executive producer of Green Sense Radio. Every week, we cover environmental issues and meet passionate people and sustainable innovators. You might have noticed we do it with very few commercials. Our advertisers, they're just part of what supports Green Sense. We need the help of our listeners, also passionate people who care about the planet and know the value of independent media, which matters now more than ever. We've just launched our fundraising drive, so you can help us continue to bring you informative and inspiring shows. Your contributions will cover our small production staff, which seeks out and schedules interviews, edits them, and puts together Green Sense every week. Plus, there's the cost of online hosting and studio equipment. So when you visit greensensefarms.com, click on Radio Show to make a contribution via Podbean. Takes just a few minutes, and as we often say on the program, individual actions multiplied by millions can yield big results. So if you're inspired by our positive and informative shows, we're asking you to help keep Green Sense going. Visit greensensefarms.com and click Radio Show to contribute to our fundraising drive via Podbean. On behalf of all of us at Green Sense Radio, thank you. Green Sense Radio is brought to you by Green Sense Farms. We're changing the world with our sustainable indoor vertical farming, growing more with less. Our leafy greens are sold live, so they burst with flavor. Visit greensensefarms.com and watch us grow. Thank you.
Plastic, plastic, plastic. It's everywhere. A recent report published by the nonprofit Orb Media and State University of New York at Fredonia shows that drinking from a plastic water bottle likely means sipping microplastic particles with just about every mouthful. We're joined by chemistry professor Dr. Sam Sherry Mason to tell us more. Welcome, Sherry, to Green Sense.
Ah, thank you for having me.
Well, I've always wondered if plastic bottles impacted the liquid stored in them, and what took so long to research this simple question?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, it took a decade before anybody actually looked in freshwater. You know, the subject started in oceans. So I guess it just takes time for scientists, I guess, to get to maybe the most obvious question of all.
Right. Hiding in plain sight, right?
Exactly. So
when you drink water from a plastic bottle, you're consuming tiny particles of plastic. At what concentration is the plastic in the water, and does it really pose a threat to human health?
So we found, if we take all of the particles that we found on average 325 pieces of plastic per liter of water that we sampled, bottled water that we sampled. And so in the United States, most of our bottled water comes in 500 milliliter quantities, so about 115, 110 so particles would be in a particular bottle of water that you would pick up off of a store shelf. With regard to the human health impacts, that's kind of the forefront of the research, and so we don't know a whole lot. I can talk a little bit about, you know, what we do know, but it's kind of complicated, so I don't know where you want me to start.
Well, I would say that in toxicology, it's all about dosage versus time. And so acute would be like a large dose of a toxin in a short time, or chronic, a small dose over a long period of time. You know, people are drinking lots of water and there's little particles in it. So that's a small dose over a long period of time. Is there an impact?
So as a chemist, what I'm most concerned about is not actually the plastic, but the chemicals that are within the plastic. So when we manufacture plastic, we embed it with a lot of plasticizers and colorants and UV stabilizers and flame retardants, which that's the one that boggles my mind the most. Apparently, we're really concerned that our bottled water is going to spontaneously combust as we drink it. But the thing with these chemicals is they're not chemically bound to the plastic, and so they leach out. And kind of the most famous example of this is BPA. It's well known to leach out. Ironically, BPA was actually developed as a birth control. So that really kind of describes to you the nature of these chemicals that are in plastic. They're all endocrine disruptors. They all mimic hormones. And hormones are the chemical messengers of the body. And so they lead to all sorts of human health impacts, from early onset of puberty in women, which later in life leads to particular types of cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, to increases in autism and ADHD and obesity in children under the age of 6 months. So it's a pretty big human health impact that's associated with this, but understanding the exact role of microplastics, that's I think what's exciting about our research coming out is that the World Health Organization has called for a study specifically to understand the human health impacts of our findings.
Well, what comes to mind is time. And do you find that water that sits in a plastic bottle for a year versus a day has a higher concentration of the microplastics?
So we didn't do that kind of testing. You know, we were basically going and buying them off the store shelf and analyzing them, or, you know, they were getting shipped to our labs, and so there was a little bit of time delay there. But other people have studied, and with regard to those chemicals that I was talking about, absolutely, those chemicals definitely get transmitted into the water the longer that the plastic bottle is sitting on a store shelf, and the higher the temperature. I mean, one thing to think about is that these things aren't shipped at cold temperature. They're shipped at whatever temperature it is outside. And then they're chilled, right, before you buy it. But at those elevated temperatures especially, that's where you get that increased migration or movement of the chemicals from the plastic into the water that you're then drinking.
We're joined by chemistry professor Dr. Sherry Mason, and we're talking about the plastic particles in your water. Sherry, what kind of health problems could occur from drinking lots of water with these microplastic particles?
I don't immediate health concerns. You know, the thing is that you're not going to see it. And industry, of course, will always kind of point to that as, well, you're not dying immediately, right? But it's kind of that chronic exposure over time. And I'm excited to see what happens with regard to this World Health Organization study on kind of the human health impacts of these microplastics that we're ingesting, not only through, you know, our water, but through our salt, our beer, our fish. You know, I mean, it's basically been proven that, you know, in every kind of environmental compartment, we're even breathing these plastics in.
Yes, it's amazing. We have covered the Great Pacific Garbage Patch a number of times. We just heard last week that there's supposed to be more plastic bits in the ocean than there are fish. Now, I don't know how you count and figure that out. Seems a little hyperbole there, but I think it makes a good point. So one thing that comes to mind when we question this is, do all types of plastic leach these particles at the same rate, or are some types of plastic worse than the others?
You would make a great scientist. You know, we don't really know. And these, I mean, the thing with science is that it's very methodical. It goes step by step, and you ask one question at a time. And so there's always way more questions than there are answers. And every study, you know, like our study, every study that comes out, there's always more questions than you come up with answers. And this type of question is exactly kind of that forefront of the research that's happening. It's important to look at different types of plastic, and you know, polyethylene is the most common type of plastic that's produced, but polypropylene is a near second. So we have to understand those kind of effects, and we don't really know right now.
Well, what about reusable plastic water bottles? What is your thought and hypothesis? Would those be worse? Because, I don't know, maybe they lose their efficacy every time they're recycled.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question as well. I mean, we studied single-use plastics, but there was a group out of, I think it was Germany, that studied, actually looked at compared recycled plastic bottles to those virgin plastic bottles, and actually found a higher contamination within those recycled bottles. Now, I don't know kind of the nature of their bottles. So like Culligan, like the big, you know, cooler kind of containers versus an Algae bottle versus a reused kind of single-use plastic bottle, all of those may be a little bit different. But it definitely does kind of bring that question into mind and makes you wonder. My hope is that kind of those harder plastics tend to leach less, but we don't really know at this time.
Well, the other thing that comes to mind is packaging. I've seen some clever ways to package water in aluminum cans, in glass bottles, even boxes made out of paper. Mm-hmm. Have you approached the bottled water industry, and are they considered materials?
So I've had some, since our report came out, I mean, we focused in our study really on these single-use plastic. We did analyze, for one brand, we analyzed it packaged in glass versus packaged in plastic, and found a much higher contamination rate within the plastic bottled water as opposed to the water that was packaged in glass. But with regard to kind of other materials, I think it would be interesting to do, and I've had some people approach me. Right now I'm kind of overloaded with work.
It's a good thing.
So it's not the next study that I'm going to be embarking on. Right now I'm on a United Nations working group, and I've got to get that report written. Getting married over the summer and sending my daughter off to college. So I got to get these kind of life events taken care of, and then we'll think about what's on the horizon next.
Marriage and daughter off to college? You've got important work to do here.
I know.
Well, congratulations on both fronts.
Thank you.
Showing microplastics are even in tap water because plastic is so ubiquitous. Are bottled water containers exposing us to even more microplastics, or is it coming from, you know, multiple point sources?
Yeah, so from our research, you know, we've analyzed 159 tap water samples that were collected around the world and 259 bottled waters that, again, were collected from around the world. And comparing the same size particles, because with the bottled water, we were able to go down to smaller size fractions. But if we compare the same size fraction, we find twice as much plastic within the bottled water as we found within the tap water. So bottled water is definitely worse with regard to microplastics. And I think what was interesting, too, with the bottled water is the types of plastic that we found. Within the tap water, it was mostly fibers, and I think that contamination is coming actually through the air. But with bottled water, it was mostly fragments. And I think that in the types of polymers that we found, those fragments were largely polypropylene, which is the same plastic that's used for the bottle cap. And this really kind of indicates to us that the plastic is actually getting its way into the bottled water through the bottling process itself. And another kind of interesting study would be to actually go into a bottling facility and test the water at multiple steps along the way and get an idea, you know, that would provide additional supporting evidence. But the evidence we have right now indicates that it's coming from the bottling process itself.
Well, when I grew up, we drank out of the hose. Maybe it's time to make it simple again. But we appreciate all the effort you're doing. We also congratulate you on all those great life events that you're about to go through, and keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
That's chemistry professor Dr. Sherry Sam Mason with State University of New York at Fredonia. I'm Robert Colangelo, and this is GreenSense. Subscribe to our podcast when you visit greensensefarms.com. The only constant in life is change, and we continue to bring you sustainable innovations that are changing the world. Bob, what kind of changes are we going to learn about next week?
These are some of the best agents of change. They're making it work in a positive way. This is an organization you know something about, the XPRIZE.
What a wonderful organization. They're market-based, and they create competitions that spur on industries to solve problems using market-based solutions. Why don't you try to innovate something and participate in the XPRIZE competition? Stay fresh, keep innovating, because when you're green, you grow.
GreenSense Radio is brought to you by GreenSense Farms. We're changing the world with sustainable indoor vertical farming, growing more with less. Our leafy greens are sold live, so they burst with flavor. Visit greensensefarms.com and watch us grow.
GreenSense is recorded in the Duneland ecosystem on the eastern shores of Lake Michigan. The program is copyright GreenSense Farms, all rights reserved.